You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
On January 18th, the University of San Francisco's KUSF radio went to static in the middle of a live program. The university shut down the transmitter for the 34-year-old radio station at 10 o'clock in the morning. By 5 that afternoon, volunteers had been escorted out and the locks were changed, all of this without warning. Jennifer Waits is a KUSF listener and a DJ at KFJC Radio, which is at Foothills College in the Los Altos Hills, California. She writes on college radio for the blogs Radio Survivor and Spinning Indie. We reached her this morning at her home in San Francisco. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Now, what happened to the frequency that this University of San Francisco station was broadcasting from?
Well, their University of San Francisco is in the process of trying to sell it to a group called Classical Public Radio Network. Classical Public Radio Network is 90% owned by University of Southern California, which has a number of classical radio stations, mostly in Southern California. So they're in the process of trying to purchase it. And on January 18th, by 5 in the afternoon, you could hear classical music being played on their frequency that was from another local classical station called KDFC that Classical Public Radio Network had just sort of purchased the intellectual property to. So it's a very, very confusing tale, but that's what's going on, and the FCC is now considering the whole deal.
What kind of content would, before it went to classical music, what kind of content would have been on KUSF?
Yeah, so it was a college radio station, but it was interesting in the fact that it was a real mix of college and community members who broadcast over the station. So they actually had a number of classical music shows. They broadcast the Metropolitan Opera, and they also had new music shows, you know, underground music, a lot of different cultural shows. There was a Turkish program, there was a Chinese language program, and I can never get the number of languages straight, but you know, at least 10 different languages were represented on different programs that they aired. So it was, you know, an eclectic mix of programming.
Is KUSF still broadcasting at all?
They're broadcasting online, but it's not the same schedule. You know, on campus at University of San Francisco, they have an online only KUSF.org that I think, you know, a handful of people are broadcasting from there. But for the most part, the people who are on the old terrestrial KUSF have fled while they're fighting this whole thing. And they have a broadcast called KUSF in Exile. And it seems to be most of the programmers that were on KUSF are now broadcasting from this exiled location that was just there yesterday in the Bayview district of San Francisco. And WFMU, which is a community radio station in New Jersey, they offered up one of their web streams to KUSF in Exile so that they can continue their programming online with those same DJs.
Now, how is the college able to sell off the license to a different network?
It's something you can do. it might be different in Canada from the United States, but licenses can be sold, and it has to go through a public comment period with the Federal Communications Commission. So that's taken place, and people opposing the sale are asking for a hearing by the FCC, because there are a lot of people that feel it isn't in the public interest to have an outside group come in and control this radio station. And they'd rather see it remain in the community of San Francisco, at least in terms of who owns it and controls it.
Okay. Let me get my head around this a little bit more, because so the University of San Francisco owned the license, and it was being broadcast by people in the community or at the university?
The station was at the university, and the DJs and programmers were a mix of students and community members.
And why would the university administration decide to sell off a license, why would they do that and not keep the radio station as part of the university and being broadcast from the community?
I can't speak for them, but what the university has been saying is that they essentially don't want to be in the business of operating a radio station, that's not part of the mission of their university. So that's largely what they're saying. In reality, a lot of what's going on right now is that, universities are facing financial hardships and opportunities are coming along where brokers are coming to universities and saying, hey, somebody might want to, you have this asset here that people are interested in purchasing. So somebody came along was offering somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 million for the license. And so then the university kind of jumped on that. And University of San Francisco also claims to be running out of space for student housing, and they already had plans in the works to displace the radio station to a smaller location on campus. So I think in their minds it solves a number of problems. They can get some money and then they can get more space for campus programs. But on the flip side, University of San Francisco touts itself as being an urban university, and they tout the connection they have with the community of San Francisco. So KUSF was actually a perfect encapsulation of a lot of what the university likes to do. They like to be a part of the community, and the station was such a great blend of that. And students at the station learned from community members and vice versa.
It sounds like a fantastic project, and one that should be emulated, not one that should be sold off. Now, you described earlier that the KUSF station had been sold to a public radio network. How are they different from campus and community stations?
This is harder for me to answer, I guess. But, campus and community stations tend to be independently owned. And that's kind of the argument here, is that this is a larger... University of Southern California owns 90% of classical public radio network, and USC itself owns a number of radio stations that they broadcast the same exact programming on. So they may have programming that they originate at one studio, but then it gets replicated at a number of different places. And so for me, anyway, and for a lot of people, that's not as appealing as having a lot of different kinds of radio stations across the dial. I'd rather not see the same syndicated programming in 10 million places. Mm-hmm. And that's what I fear is happening when these networks are coming in and buying stations. In this case, I don't think they're planning on airing syndicated programming. It looks like they do plan to have it be locally produced in San Francisco, at least for the time being. But there are other situations. Rice University in Houston was just sold to University of Houston for use as part of a public radio network. And it seems that this new station, after University of Houston takes over the station, it's going to be mostly syndicated programming as opposed to eclectic, free-form mixture of, programs that students and community members have produced.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, that regulates this area. Why aren't they protecting college stations from this kind of deal?
It's a good question, and I'm not an FCC historian, but these are considered non-commercial educational stations, but it encompasses a wide range of stations. It's not just college stations. It's college stations, community stations, religious broadcasters, public radio stations, various nonprofits. All of these types of groups own non-commercial stations. So it's actually an eclectic mixture of groups. And some people are calling for a readjustment of that whole system And they think that college and community should be kind of a special class of station that gets more protection. And, when you think about the original intent of non-commercial educational radio, you would think that would mean university-based stations. But the definition of education seems to have kind of morphed into something where a lot of people can qualify for it, even if there isn't an explicit educational connection with the station.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's something that I think people would like to see the FCC address. You know, I think it would be a tragedy. You know, what's happening right now is all of a sudden these stations are getting sold, and it's because there are groups that are desiring the frequencies, and there aren't that many frequencies available. You can't just ask the FCC for a frequency and get one. You know, there's not much space on the dial.
I guess one of the things that's really concerning here is that, you know, it's pretty easy to sell off a radio station or a frequency at one time, but it'd be pretty hard for colleges and universities to be able to get those back.
Exactly, and that's something that I think about all the time. Once it's gone, it's going to be very difficult to get it, unless, you know, the entire radio system implodes and, you know, everybody retreats from radio, and then, you know, we can take it over again. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, I hope that's not going to happen.
I mean, there are some inklings of good news. The Local Community Radio Act passed recently, so there are some low-power FM stations that will be opening up within the next couple of years. So, you know, there may be opportunities for stations to get on the air that way.
What if folks at KUSF in San Francisco and at some of these other stations that are under threat doing to fight back against the sell-offs?
Well, the big thing at KUSF, they're doing a lot just to raise awareness about it. It's pretty astonishing how quickly they organized. There was a meeting the day after the shutdown at University of San Francisco, and it was a packed hall. And the president of the university addressed questions about the situation, and that got a lot of press. They have a Facebook page, a website where they're, you know, spreading news about what's happened. They're appearing on panels at various conferences all over the country, and they've hired lawyers. So in the FCC process, they have written, you know, these large legal documents opposing the transfer of the license. So that's extended. That's bought them some time. If they hadn't opposed any of this with the FCC, it's possible that the sale could have gone through already. So they're making a lot of noise. They're raising money to pay for their lawyers. And then also, what's really great is that because they're helping to raise awareness of this and connecting with other groups like Students at Rice, where this, you know, just happened to them at their station, KTRU, there seems to be a larger network of people talking about it, and there have been some national actions that have taken place. WFMU has been a great friend to KUSF, and they set up this live broadcast featuring KUSF DJs at a record store in San Francisco. And then just through word of mouth, they managed to get 15 other college and community stations to broadcast this live event. So KUSF DJs were heard all over the country. You know, they were heard in New Jersey and in California, in Southern California, even on the USC online-only station. And, you know, USC is kind of part of the deal overtaking KUSF. So that was a pretty amazing show of solidarity. There was a national minute of silence that a college radio group called Collegiate Broadcasters, Inc., they put together a minute of silence on April 28th, and over 20 stations broadcast a minute of silence in honor of what's happening in college radio. So I think hopefully kind of all these things together are going to get people thinking about the situation and also thinking about ways to preserve stations that are on campuses right now so that we don't have more stories like KUSF.
I love the idea of the moment of silence, and one of the things that I love about it is that usually a moment of silence on radio is something that we call dead air. So
I know.
It's kind of got a nice, you know, there's kind of a nice sort of sense of contrast there, and what you will be hearing is that loss of sound, that loss of voices if these stations aren't defended.
And it's chilling. You can, On the Save KUSF website somewhere, you can take a listen to what happened when KUSF was taken off the air. And it actually, KUSF went off the air during my favorite show on KUSF, which is even more tragic. But you can listen. They have an archive of DJ Shmijay's show, and you can hear him doing his show, playing his music, and then all of a sudden it just goes to static. And, you know, that if that's not enough to wake everybody up, I don't know what is. It's just, it's a terrifying thing to hear.
What can people here in Canada do to support KUSF in San Francisco and these other stations that are facing this potential loss of their frequencies?
I think what you're doing is great, you know, broadcasting information about it over your airwaves and talking to people that you know at stations, at college stations in the U.S. Encourage people in the U.S. to write to their representatives about this, too, because in the case of KUSF, people still would like the FCC to have a hearing about the sale. So there's information on savekusf.org about who you can write to. And also encouraging your fellow radio folks in the United States to take care of what they have and make sure that they're doing everything they can on campus to ensure their future.
It's been great talking with you this morning, Jennifer.
Thanks so much. Yeah. I really appreciate you guys having a show about this.
Well, maybe sometime we'll get a chance to, exchange programs or have some of your broadcasters on our show. It would be great.
That would be awesome. Yeah, that's another thing that's been happening is people have opened up their airwaves to KUSF DJs, and it's been a beautiful thing.
Great. Okay, take care. Thanks for joining me this morning.
All right, thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
I've been speaking with Jennifer Waits. Jennifer is a DJ at KFJC Radio, which is at Foothills College in Los Altos Hills, California. She also writes on campus and community radio on the following blogs: radiosurvivor.com and spinningindie.blogspot.com. And if you'd like to support KUSF Radio, you can visit their website at kusf.org.